Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast for Sunday, December 13th, 2020. Today's sermon is part three of Leadership in the Church of God, Management that Produces Order from Titus 1, 5 through 9. If you wish to follow along, you can go to www.gracebaptistchurchnc.org, click the sermons link at the top, and then click today's manuscript. Welcome to Grace Baptist Church.
All right. Well, good morning again. Good to see you here. If you would join with me, and let's ask God's blessing on our time this morning. Heavenly Father, even as we sang, we ask that you would open the eyes of our heart, Father, open our ears, Father, that we would see you fresh and anew this morning, Father, that we would hear what you have to say to us this morning through the singing of your word and, Father, the preaching of your word. Father, we just ask that you'd be with us this morning, Father, in our worship time. Father, that our worship would be pleasing to you. We ask for your help in that, Father. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, especially be with Pastor John as he preaches your word this morning. And, Father, again, be with us as we hear it preached. And, Father, we just ask, as we always do, that by the Spirit you would change us this morning by hearing the preached word this morning. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. May be seated.
This morning's scripture reading, 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 through 21. So 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 through 21. Fight the good fight of faith. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength, because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And fathers, we think of all the individuals that have needs this morning, and the sickness and the recoveries and the cancer battles, dear Lord, and And the hard times we face, we have total confidence in what you're going to do for Peter, for Lindsay, for Reed, for Zach, for Amy, for Brian, dear Lord. We pray that you will strengthen them, strengthen their faith, dear Lord, and confidence in Christ, Father. Be with those that minister to them, both spiritually and medically, dear too, Father. May you be seen in the midst of them, dear Lord, ever more increasingly as each day goes by. We thank you for what you're going to do in these lives, dear Lord. And we have confidence what you're going to do, dear Lord. And Father, as we turn to worship through the preaching of your word this morning, be with your servant John, dear Lord. Bless him well, dear Father. Prepare our ears and minds and hearts for what we were here this morning. May we consume it so we can give it out to others, so it will bless them and bring glory to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right, well, we're going to continue our worship with singing this morning. If you would, let's stand. To them and said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord."
Until the Son of God.
What heights of love, what depths of peace. It's here in the love of Christ that we stand. 1 John 4:10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In Christ alone.
If you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Titus. We're still in verses 5 to 9. While you're turning there, I want to commend a book to you, and I actually want to give it away today. It's by Dane Ortlund called Gentle and Lowly. Anybody read it yet? Anybody out there? All right. This year, it's probably one of the best books I've ever read, and it's one of those books that just looks to Christ. And it's one of those kinds of books, it's not very difficult at all, and you can use it to go through your quiet times. If you'll read it within the next 2 months, I'll give it to you. Who wants to read it within the next 2 months? It's going to Kindle. If we missed you, I'm going to start doing this more to get good books out, because our book table is back there. So we're not doing that with COVID and everything going on. So... But back to Titus. I'm going to read verses chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. This is sermon number 3. When we think about elders and leadership, management of the church of God. Verse 5, this is why I left you in Crete, Paul tells Titus, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, husband of one wife, his children are believers or faithful and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant, quick-tempered, or drunkard, or violent, or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. And then verse 9 is where we're going to spend our time today. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we need your word. We need these words this morning. And in your providence, this is where we are. As we are in this Christmas time, in this Christmas season where many are thinking of Christ, even if it's just Christ in the manger or the babe or whatever it is. Father, as Christians, we know He is so much more. He is God in essence, in all of His fullness, in all of your fullness. And we worship Him today. Father, as we approach these words, we pray that Jesus would be lifted up. We pray the gospel of Christ would be proclaimed. And we pray that you would give us good instruction as a church. Father, in spite of me, I pray that you would work. I pray that Christ would increase, that we would decrease, that he would be more beautiful. And I pray that you would give us great grace and help us where we need help. We give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read verse 9 again. Speaking about the elder, he must hold firm. Hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he might be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So, in the next two sermons, I would like to arrange my points around three verbs in this text that are associated with the management of the Word of God. Paul commands Titus to appoint elders who, first, as we looked the last 2 weeks, dealing with character. Manage your character. Look specifically to the home, relationships in the home, and then to just moral character. But they must also be able to manage the Word of God. And that's where we are today. Paul's instructions are very clear. Three verbs here. He tells Titus, hold firm is the first one. Second one is exhort, or that is to encourage, to exhort. And the third one is to rebuke. Now, I planned to do this all in one sermon, but with everything we've had going on today and wanting to speak a little bit about Lottie Moon as I progress through the week, it was way too long. And so you're only going to get half of it this week, and we're only going to look at one truth. So it will be a little bit shorter than normal, but we're going to look at that one truth. So let's begin. Here's the truth. The elder holds firm to the gospel. Now let me just give a parenthesis first of all, and we know this, but this is just a reminder. The elder has, when a church calls an elder, this person must have the ability to teach. In both 1 Timothy and in Titus, we see the necessity of character, of course, but right in the middle of all these qualities in 1 Timothy, Paul is real clear to Timothy, this person has to be able to teach. And here in verse 9, in Titus chapter 1, he says, able to give instruction in sound doctrine. That's saying basically the same thing. This gift of teaching is not mentioned for the deacons. though I would argue a deacon must be one who understands the gospel and holds on to the gospel just as the elder or just as any Christian does. Because in 1 Timothy 3:9, concerning the deacon, he says to Timothy, the deacon must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Now, lots of people are gifted with teaching in the world. I've had some awesome teachers in school, and so have you. In fact, you can have the most boring subject, but if you get a good teacher, that makes all the difference in the world. And so there are a lot of good teachers out there, but in the context of the Word and what Paul is saying to Titus, Paul does not speak about the teachers of the world. He speaks about the teachers of the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the buttress of the truth. Concerning the elder or the pastor, the one who is able to teach, John Calvin says, this is the chief gift of the bishop. There you go, Tommy, of the bishop. This is the chief gift of the bishop, who is elected principally for the sake of teaching. For the church cannot be governed in any other way than by the Word, as someone teaches. Now, I do not think this necessarily means that every elder that we've got at Grace or every elder must be gifted in preaching or standing up in front of people and doing that in the way that you are accustomed to on Sunday mornings. But the elder must grasp and understand the gospel and be able to apply the gospel as it is taught in the Scriptures in an effective manner. Be able to sit down and understand the gospel and apply the gospel and to teach the gospel in these settings. And I believe that our elders are able to do that here at Grace. And there are many others, I believe, that are also able. So I wanted to say that at the beginning before we move any further. But for now, for the rest of our time, I want to turn our attention to the gospel itself. Good news is what gospel literally means. Now you might say, John, this text right here in Titus does not explicitly say gospel. So why do you say, why am I saying that we must hold on to the gospel? The text actually says, hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught. Well, I hope you'll see that essentially this means to hold on to the gospel as we move through this. Well, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's His person, it's His work, it's everything that He is and everything that He does, as He is the fulfillment of all of God's promises in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament Word. And this is what the Apostle Paul came to realize, and he came to preach. So let's just think about Paul for just a minute. When he was converted, who was Paul? Paul was a Pharisee. He was zealous. And he thought the Christians had it all wrong because they were claiming that Jesus was God. And so he was sent with the authority from the religious leaders there in Jerusalem to persecute Christians, to put them into prison and even to kill them on some occasions. And so Paul is heading out one day on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians, to put them into prison and to kill them. And as he is on his way, do you remember what happened? A light shone from heaven, we are told, and Paul fell to the ground blinded. And then what happened? The Bible tells us that Jesus appeared to Paul, and he says to Paul, Saul, because his name was Saul before it is changed, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That's Acts 9, and also he tells the story again in Acts 26. And on that very day, I believe Paul was powerfully converted. He went from one way to another way, just like that. And in Acts 9, we are told that after this, of course, someone had to lead him by the hand down the road in order to meet up with another gentleman and a group of believers there. And he was healed from his blindness. But in Acts 9, we're told that he spent a number of days with the disciples at Damascus. We don't know how many days that was. But there, they preached the word to Paul. And they explained to him the gospel. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, Paul began to see that Christ was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament scriptures. Now, that's my story, although mine did not happen like that. But it happened in the sense that I came to see that Jesus was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament. And all of God's promises are yes in Him. And I began to understand as people preached to me, and I heard preaching, hearing the Word, and I also was converted. And if you are a Christian today, you were converted in the same way. You heard the Word, and it became clear, I believe that Jesus is who He says He is. And as we move back to Paul, I think Paul started, as they preached, especially to him there in Damascus, he began to understand that all of the Old Testament stories and all the Old Testament pictures were fulfilled in the Messiah. Think about some of the stories here. Jesus was the manna that God gave down from heaven in the Old Testament. He was the meat from heaven. He was the water given at the rock of Horeb there in the desert. He was the fire by night, and He was the cloud by day to protect Israel. He was the shepherd who led them through the wilderness. Do you remember Abraham and Isaac? He was the ram in the thicket given in the place of Isaac. He was the great wrestler of Jacob, or with Jacob. He was the nourishment of the Passover feast. I believe He was the one who shut the door to Noah's Ark before the flood came. You remember Joshua? There was a man standing before him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua said, "Are you for us or are you against us?" And what did he say? He said, "No, I've come in the name of the Lord." He was the great warrior with the sword drawn. He is the great high priest. He is the eternal king of David's throne. He is Daniel's Ancient of Days. He is the true Israel. All of these things and many, many, many more, I believe Paul began to see. I see that. I see that. That is Jesus. That is Jesus. That's what happens when we are born again. That's what happens when conversion happens in our life. We see those things. And with Paul, by the Spirit, all of these truths filled his soul. Hebrews 1, verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. And then, we continue thinking about Paul, he was appointed by God as an apostle to the Gentiles to preach these Old Testament truths as fulfilled in Christ, the gospel, the good news. And so from this perspective, Christ is the gospel. But when we think about gospel, what do we think about as Christians? I'm addressing Christians. What do we think about usually when we think about the gospel? I must admit that personally and throughout my time of being a believer, when I hear the gospel, I usually think of the cross. And I must admit that my attention is drawn to the cross. As Paul says, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." 1 Corinthians 2:2. So as Christians, we are drawn to the cross because this is where the gospel, the good news, most affects us, most comes down to us. For the cross of Christ is the place where we find forgiveness of our sins. It is the place we are reconciled with God. It is the place of peace. It is the place of comfort. Why is this? Because the cross is the place where the righteousness of God has been manifested. It is the place where the Son of God laid down His life as a sacrifice for sin. There, on the cross, God put Him forward as a propitiation by His blood. This means that all of God's anger and all of God's wrath for sin, for our sins, was poured out fully upon the one who went to the cross, the sinless Son of God. And all who look upon Him, all who trust in Him, all who believe in Him, their sins are forgiven. If you are a Christian today, it's because Christ has come to you in the same kind of way He came to Paul on the road to Damascus. You were born again, you were converted, and you look unto Christ and you believe all of these things about Him. And all of the effects that come from the cross come down to us. It is the greatest place of peace and comfort that we can have because our sins are forgiven. A holy God is no longer angry with us. Do you remember when Israel was in the desert? Another story. And they were at one particular, they had complained a lot for 40 years, okay? But at one particular time, they were complaining about having no water and no food. Though they had some food, because they just said, the food that we are getting, we loathe it. And you know what happened at that time? This is found in Numbers 21. God sent fiery serpents. Look up here at me, kids. This is a shocking story. There they were complaining. Do you ever complain? Yes, we all complain. We complain in our hearts. But they were complaining, the Bible says, against God and against Moses. And in Numbers 21, it says it was great sin. So you know what God did? God started sending, or He sent there immediately. It was a miracle, but He sent snakes, serpents, poisonous snakes. And they started to bite the people all over the place, and the people died. And some of them were dying, and as they were dying, they were like, we know we have sinned, okay? If you want to get your attention, fiery snakes will do it. And so there they are in the desert. And they start to wonder, what are we going to do? And so they go to Moses and say, Moses, let me just read what happened from Numbers 21. The people came to Moses and they said, we have sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Moses, pray to the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, he shall live. So Moses put on a pole, a fiery snake, a bronze serpent there. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Brothers and sisters, we are bitten with something much more serious than the poison of a snake. We are bitten by sin. By nature, we are children of wrath. And then it follows out in our choices and the things that we do. We are sinners. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've sinned this week. We've gotten upset. We've gotten angry in our hearts. We've criticized somebody we shouldn't have. We've been impatient with our spouse or with our children or with something we've seen going on in our culture or something on the TV. And our sins go on and on. But as Moses raised up the bronze serpent on the pole, that those who looked upon it were healed, so God has put forth His Son on the cross. And those who look upon Him by faith will be healed. Healed from sin and death. And so this is the gospel, brothers and sisters. So when we think of the gospel, yes, we go to the cross, but I also want to continue. We do not stop with the cross. We also proclaim the resurrection. Jesus did not stay in the grave. He conquered death. Because He lives, We will live, and because He lives now through the power of the Holy Spirit, no matter what is going on in our lives, we also live and we have power in our lives. And now, after His resurrection, He sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven where He reigns now. And we await His second coming where He will make all of His enemies His footstool. Brothers and sisters, all of this is the gospel. So that's why it's hard sometimes when somebody says, "What is the gospel?" You say, "Well, it's good news." Well, good news about what? Well, good news about the cross. Yes, but it's good news about all of those things. That's why, as I said earlier, Jesus is the gospel. When we think of the child in the manger at Christmas now, as Christians, we should rejoice over all of these things. We should not leave any of them out as informed Christians. These, I believe, are the faithful or trustworthy words that Paul is giving to Titus here that he handed down to Timothy and to us. If you would, look at Titus chapter 3. I think this is a good summary of the gospel. Can't wait to get here to preach these words in a more particular way. But look at Titus 3 verse 4 and continuing. Think about Christmas, think about Christ in the manger. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This saying is trustworthy. So this is where I'm connecting trustworthy here, even in Titus. There's a number of trustworthy sayings about the gospel in 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus. This saying is trustworthy, and I want you, Titus, to insist on these things. So that's a summary, I think, of what is the gospel. And hopefully, we get the gospel here at Grace. I know I don't give it as fully as it is given today, often, but hopefully over the days through the preaching here at Grace, we get the gospel. And it is, as Paul tells Titus, to the gospel that we must hold firm. Now, parents, have you ever sent your kids off to school and they have to go pay something, some check for some meal or some fundraiser or something? Of course. And you give them that $20 check or that $100,000 check, whatever you're giving, and you say, hold on to that. Don't lose it. Because how many times, kids, have you lost what your parents have given you before you get to school? I know it's happened in our family. You ask them, you say, please hold firm to this and don't lose it. Here's another picture, I think, of what it means to hold firm. Have you ever... I don't know if they do this in gym class anymore, but back in when I was in gym class, they used to make us climb up the rope that was hanging from the gym. Anybody ever done that? Or tried it or attempted it? I don't know if they do that. Do they do that in gym class anymore? Who's a PE teacher in here? They do that? But if you climb up there to the top, you're not about to say, man, I made it to the top, I'm going to let go. What would you do? You would fall. You might die. You're probably going to break quite a few bones in your knees and ankles for sure, your hips, but you're going to hold firm to that rope as if your life depended on it. Well, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is our life, and we hold on to this gospel. For it is the power of God to salvation, Romans 1:16 tells us, to everyone who believes. For the Jew first and for the Greek, for the whole world, it is the power of God. So that's my first truth this morning. So that's all you're going to get this morning as far as doctrinal truth. For just a couple minutes now or a few minutes, I have two applications. First application, we must hold firm to the gospel. Paul says of the elder, who Titus is going to appoint in all these cities and in these churches, this person you appoint, he must hold on to the gospel. I would argue that if we do not hold firm to the gospel, we will eventually cease to be a Christian church. Countless churches throughout the centuries have over time lost the gospel. But by the grace of God, here we are. We do not and we must not lose the gospel. If we do, we cease to become a church, a Christian church. But churches who lose the gospel, this doesn't happen overnight. It will happen, though, as the emphasis of the preaching and the teaching by the leadership of the church moves towards other things, other emphases. This could be an emphasis on good works, such as buildings or hospitals or schools or homeless shelters or orphanages. Now, we must do all of those things, and Paul's going to tell us in Titus, do good works. That's not what I'm saying. Don't do those things, because we must do those things. But we must do them alongside of preaching the gospel. And the preaching of the gospel is foundational. We must not emphasize other things apart from the preaching and teaching of the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, in 2 weeks, I'm going to come back to the second part of this sermon, because next week we're going to do our Christmas reading together and singing together. So make sure you come. But in 2 weeks, we're going to move back here, and I'm going to emphasize this truth more in that next sermon. But I want to mention another way that we lose the gospel. We lose the gospel, I think. Churches can lose the gospel by not teaching all of the Bible, teaching the whole counsel of God. It can be tempting, and it is definitely easier to pick easy topics and to find out what's going on in culture and just say, I'm going to preach about that. And then just it becomes habitual that we just preach topically. Now, I'm not saying that those who do that move away from the gospel, because we still can. But I think over a period of years, if we do that, we will be in great danger, because we must preach the whole counsel of God. When we preach through books at Grace, when we do that, often there's been doctrines and things that have been extremely difficult, and we deal with things that we just don't know the answer to sometimes, and lots of things. But we must do this. We must preach through the whole counsel of God, every doctrine, every difficulty. I think what happens when this happens, certain preachers might leave out certain doctrines and then lose the gospel itself. Very, very important. I think that's all I've got for this morning, and I hate to end it quite that way, but it is so important for us as a church to hold on to the gospel, and we absolutely must do it. So with that, this morning, let's end, and I would like to pray for us. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we give thanks, for you are good. We pray that you would give us great grace as we think about holding on to the gospel, and as we look in a couple weeks too towards just thinking about how do we do that, and what doctrine does for us, and how we exhort and how we rebuke. And Father, next week as we meet together as a church again and we really consider the gospel of Christ, as we consider Christmas and who He is and what He has done, I pray that you'd give us great grace. Father, today as we leave, give us grace this week that we would look unto Christ. If there's someone here who's not a Christian, Father, may they look unto Christ. For those of us who are Christians, Father, give us grace to continue to look to Christ in the gospel. Father, we give you these things. We're very grateful today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father God, we just once again come to you and we give thanks for this time that we have this morning, Father, to hear your word preached. And Father, we thank you for your servant who is faithful to do it. Father, I just ask that as we go out, Father, to school and to work, that we would be the salt and light that you have called us to be this week. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. You can listen to past sermons at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. You can also join us at the South Row Inn YMCA, 950 Kimball Road in China Grove, North Carolina. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for fellowship, and service starts at 10. Thank you for listening, and remember to be intentional in making disciples this week.